Bookbub.com, and I'm here with Davy Jones, and today we're having a nice little chat with a mysterious young man who goes by the name of Queens College Gordon.
Hello.
Hello. What are you wearing?
Right now we're going with some nice red plaid pajama pants, my favorite baggy blue hooded sweatshirt, and some really nice $10 slippers.
Great. Are your pajama pants Burberry or are they Van Heusen?
We're going to go with Van Heusen.
Is Van Heusen even a good brand?
That's the brand I have. I can't afford Burberry's. And if I do buy Burberry's, then like I don't eat for a month or something. So
I just want to know, how is it that somebody who gives away all of his music for free can afford a pair of $10 slippers?
Just a lot of scrimping and saving over the past few months. Back in around Thanksgiving, I saw this really nice pair of $10 slippers at Target and just had this goal set, so I started taking back my bottles and cans and recycling, and over a few months' time I was able to get enough money put back for these great slippers.
Alright, so once upon a time, I'm going to skip the other questions because I decided I didn't like them. Once upon a time, there's this guy who started making music at home, and one day he woke up and realized that he had this very large catalog and decided that he was going to... Now you fill in the rest.
All right. Basically take that music and figure out a way to get it out to people so they could hear it and let me know what they think about it. And so just deciding to make it available for free because it's largely about the art and the expression of the music, not about the money that comes from that.
I also understand that you have this love and hate relationship with politics. So I'm going to sneak this quick question in again that relates to
all right.
What would you like to see change in this world? Let's just say within the next year.
I'd love to see the mindset of fear get out of people's heads in our society. The American society is so wrapped up in being fearful of the next bad thing that's going to happen to it, that we're allowing it to determine some, what are in my mind, pretty irrational foreign policy decisions. And with our incredible amount of influence around the world, that will in turn cause some pretty irrational foreign policy decisions by other countries as well.
So what did you have for breakfast today?
Nothing. I have been awake and watching a little bit of politics on TV and making music, and actually forgot about breakfast this morning. Typically, though, apple juice, some toast, and I have an odd addiction to Cocoa Pebbles cereal.
Do you have a defining moment in your life when you realized that you wanted to create music?
I always kind of had these little inklings when I first started getting obsessed with music back in high school. I was really in love, obsessed with Pennywise and Bad Religion and some of those early 90s punk bands. They No Effects, those bands were really getting me going, but I didn't really get this idea of starting to make music until I was in college at some point, and I got talked into buying a drum set and playing in a punk band for a while, and then after hearing Guided by Voices make their wonderful racket on on a 4-track recorder, it kind of gave me this idea that if I went out and bought a 4-track off eBay for $70, I could just sit in my bedroom and record music all I wanted as well. So I suppose a very long answer to get to the idea of buying a Tascam 4-track recorder. Wow. Being that turning point.
What's the most important thing you want people to know about Queens College organs?
I would say that just the simple phrase, I dig art. The music itself is all that matters. It's doing something that is unique and original and challenging all the kind of preconceived notions about what music is, what it should sound like, what the structure should be like, that kind of thing.
So what does your mind look, sound, and smell like? And then tell me about what kind of texture it has.
What does my mind?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, if we're going to slice our head open, what will we see? What will we hear? What will we smell?
You know the Charlie Chaplin movie, Modern Times?
Yeah.
When he gets drugged through all the gears in the factory?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I imagine that mind looking like when you cut into my head. It's just a bunch of gears turning around, maybe a stray person or two being drugged through the gears. As far as smell, let's say pancakes. Smell like pancakes. That's the smell I've been able to get out of my head for a little while here.
Buttermilk or buckwheat?
Buttermilk. All right. What is the
What's the texture like?
The texture?
Yeah.
It's like one of those kind of. It's like a kid's toy. It's jelly. Rubber things you squeeze and it oozes out one end and oozes out the other end. I suppose that would be the top layer texture anyway.
That's pretty accurate, I think.
Yeah.
So lately, what song's been stuck in your head?
I've been really listening a lot lately to there's a new record by a band called Times New Viking. It's called Rip It Off. It just came out in the last month or so here. And it's a great record. It's really kind of harkens back to the Guided by Voices lo-fi era. It's very, very fuzzy, very distorted, and very much recorded on lo-fi types of equipment. And then I've been listening actually quite a bit to the new Ravionettes CD.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to... There's a band, I don't know if you're familiar, called Blitz and Trapper. From Portland, that is this really, it's the closest thing, their Wild Mountain Nation record's the closest thing I've heard to like a Pavement Wowie Zowie type of record in a long time.
Oh, wow.
Those have been my obsessions as of late.
Cool.
All right, so if you could sit down and drink a cheap beer with any two musicians, living or dead, who would you choose?
I'm going to go with just two very simple but still living musicians, probably Robert Pollard, as we've already crossed this whole bridge of me having a Guided by Voices obsession, and Wayne Coyne.
Wow.
I am, like I said, obsessed with the Guided by Voices music, and Wayne Coyne, I think, makes incredible music, and is every time I read about him in an interview or I listen to him on you guys' on piratepods.com, he just has incredibly wonderful and interesting things to say. So those
would
be the two.
Very cool. Good choices.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you believe in Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy?
I don't believe in them physically. But I believe in the importance of their spirit with people. The idea of a Santa Claus or the idea of a Tooth Fairy is kind of that idealistic, wonderful, childlike element that has an important place in society, I suppose.
So yeah, I mean, so these ideals. I mean, in some ways, right? Those two characters provide some kind of, I guess, hope.
They represent hope.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and do you think that's important? I mean, I know you. I'm going to go back to this politics thing. Do you think that's important these days in kind of an era of fear? And maybe even hopelessness.
Very much so. I think that that's probably the single biggest thing that we can be, or that we need in our society is something hopeful, something positive to shoot for. And, you know, you listen, you know, if you want to draw that same concept back to music, one of the things that makes a band like the Flaming Lips or a band like the Polyphonic Spree so wonderful is that, you know, they look around and they say, yeah, the world's messed up in a lot of ways, but there's also a lot of things that we can be striving for. There's a lot of hope out there for us to have. We just have to get past this constant barrage of being fearful and scared of what the next disaster is going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the important things with music in general, is it adds that, it helps us experience or express our personal joy.
Sure.
That we get caught up in all of this fear and hopelessness and the world sucks and everything is going wrong, but there's still that natural human tendency to have joy, and I think that...
I agree very much.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's really, we're so lucky that we actually have music that, you know, somebody's able to put some of the things that we feel, even if it's not even intended for that purpose, but at least at the moment, from moment to moment, you know, we could hear somebody who put something into notes or into words what we were thinking at that time.
It's what, in that way, I think music is one of the few real expressions of emotion and feeling that our society still has and still respects in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I mean, you know, that said, though, do you think that musicians have any responsibility to their audience? Because it's a really powerful medium.
Well, who is a musician responsible to, themselves or to their audience?
The musician is responsible to themselves. They're making, you know, they're expressing a particular feeling, a particular sound, a particular lyric that is theirs. I mean, that has to be first and foremost. Now, you guys know as well as I do with all of them, all of the different styles of music. I mean, you go on the internet, there's millions of bands out there. It is up to the listeners, to the people as a whole, to find what music they best connect to and best find that hope or find that sense of emotion in. But I think first and foremost, the musician has to be responsible to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a very fake, very inaccurate form of expression if they're taking into account what everyone else wants them to be doing instead of just doing what they want.
Cool. Excellent.
Right, so why do you do this then? Why do you continue to make music?
I love doing it. It's something for me, it gets me out of the day-to-day routine. It makes me do something, come up with something creative, and if nothing else, it's just a very important outlet for me. There will be times where I will be laying down and sleeping, and it'll be 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'll get an idea in my head, and I'll have to come down and record it before I can even fall back to sleep. It's just, you know, you have these little these ideas. You got to get them out somehow, and that's the role music plays for me. It kind of, I don't know, cleanses my brain in that way.
what other jobs have you had?
Well,
or do you have?
Record store previously. I got to cut up ham and turkey at a deli for a while I was in high school. That was a blast. And currently I teach. I handle some social studies courses, high school level social studies courses.
How is that? I mean, do you find that you could relate to younger people more? That you are a musician, or is it just it's just not a subject that never comes up?
That to be quite honest, the music aspect, you know, the kids know that I'm interested in music, and I'll talk about music with them in class from time to time. But I, the fact that I mess around and play music myself is not a topic of conversation in class. That is something that I keep separate for the sake of classroom management, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
That's probably a good idea.
Which grade are you dealing with?
It would be a very, very long couple of days if it came out that I was doing this kind of thing, I suppose, on the side.
Yeah, that's true. Classroom management is important which ages are you dealing with?
High school. I have sophomore through senior level of high school.
Wow.
If it was younger kids, it'd be a totally different thing. But right now, about the best I can do is complain to the kids about some of their bad choices in the music they listen to.
Hey, here's a question. I mean, besides bad music choices and such, and there's so much music out there these days, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. But do you notice a difference between high school kids today versus when you were in high school? This is something that really interests me a lot. And the reason why I ask this one is I'm not sure if I'm looking at it through the lens of somebody in his mid to late 30s, or if I'm still putting my mind back in high school to try to make those comparisons. You know, you just never know, right? We're all looking at it through a different lens. Right. What about, do you ever stop and think about it? You know, wow, I don't remember it being like this when I was this age, or is it exactly the same?
I think about it a lot, and I even complain to the kids about it a lot. This idea with so many of the kids that I have, this idea of conformity and not even realizing it's conformity. The idea that these kids, you know, they think they're listening to strange music. They think they're listening to punk music because they have the DJ or whatever on MTV tell them that this band is a punk band.
Mm-hmm.
And not grasping the fact that really how do-it-yourself, how punk rock is it that this band is being played on Total Request Live or whatever the show is called on MTV. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's just a large element with these kids where they don't, and I'm sounding like an old man now too, but I they don't grasp the whole importance of the indie rock movement of the 90s. Indie rock now, it has, to a lot of these kids, if you say something about liking independent music or indie rock, it doesn't mean anything to them. Or if you say, mm-hmm, I like punk rock, they think that means you like Fall Out Boy or something along those lines,
yeah,
as opposed to understanding that punk rock doesn't have to be fast and have a poppy chorus 45 seconds into the song and all that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Have a uniform.
And I feel like they don't have to work to find their music. Yeah. It's just put in their face and they just take it in and accept it and like it and move on. Where I feel like I don't want to speak for David, but I think I can, is that when we were that age, we really had to work hard to find music that was different, music that wasn't being played on our local radio, music that wasn't on MTV.
Yeah.
And it was,
and when you,
it was a lot of word of mouth type thing. And you know, you just had to, we put so much work into it, and then we found really some really good stuff, but kids don't put in that effort.
when you found those bands too, the band felt like it was yours.
Right.
you know what I mean? I know that sounds very, very odd, but you felt a, you know, for me growing up, I was high school age in the 90s, and, you know, even though there were tons of other kids out there listening to Guided by Voices or to Pavement and some of those bands, you know, you found them and you didn't have many friends that you hung out or that you knew of that listened to that type of thing. And when you found a band like that, it was something special. It was the type of thing where you looked at the release dates every week to see if they had a new record coming out so you could be the first one to the record store to pick it up if it was even available. And now it's a very watered down.
Well, yeah, and you version. Think it would be better with the internet. You think that a lot more music would be available to kids because of the internet. Because when Davey and I were in high school, we didn't have the internet. It just wasn't available to us. So it's CDs. Just funny to me because I always think about how great it is that there is now all of this music that's literally at one's fingertips for discovering, but they're not. The kids aren't doing it.
Right.
But at least not the bulk of them. I mean, I know there are kids who are pretty savvy, but not.
Sure. Well, and the thing is that makes it difficult is, there are, the internet makes a ton of more bands available to everybody to listen to. But the ratio of interesting, creative, original bands to knockoffs of some mainstream pop act is very small, and that ratio is going to hold the same on the internet. There's most, you have to, in order to find a decent band, you have to wade through a whole lot of very boring cookie cutter type of music.
And then it's all about marketing too.
Oh, certainly, yeah,
absolutely. Marketing, I mean, that's
aspect. Still the person with the most money still wins.
Sure. I mean, it's a marketing apparatus. It's a current market. Absolutely. That dictates most of it. You know, who's thrown in your face much more, who's pumped into the malls much more, things like that.
Right. And that's, you know, teaching history like I do, one of the things I always complain to the students about is no recognition of musical history. Mm-hmm. You know, they come in with the newest, pop punk band, which to me most of the time sounds like giving NSYNC a bunch of guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it, and you know, they have no recognition of a band like the Descendants that were doing that 20 years prior, or they have no recognition of a band like Husker Du or Bad Brains, these bands who laid the groundwork and actually were making what was at the time very creative, original, unique music. And there's no appreciation, no understanding of that.
You can only hope.
So what do you have against vegetables and being around people?
As far as vegetables, generally speaking, I just never developed any kind of likeness for the taste, or liking of the taste of them, I suppose. My parents tried as best they could to get me eating vegetables when I was young, and I was too stubborn and just waited them out and never did quite get into them. Although I'm having some of them sneaked into my meals here as of late, so that is helping to hopefully develop a bit of a taste for me. But as far as people go, that I know that's a very general and angry sounding thing to have anywhere, but I, generally speaking, keep in contact decently with the people I want to talk to. And a lot of other, you know, people in general, it's hard to find people who you have things in common with when you have some of the outlooks, I suppose, on life and society that I have. And so it's just a general idea that there's not a lot of... not a lot of people that I like sitting down and having conversations with, I suppose.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think there are some days that, you know, I'm really happy that I've surrounded myself with people who I really dig talking to and enjoy having discussions over music or politics or food or just bullshitting about nothing, really. But
But sure, then there's the people walking around with the little blinders on who are focused on what, I mean, again, I'm judging people very harshly here, who are really focused on unimportant things or things that I consider to be really unimportant and a waste of my time. Like, I just don't really want to talk about somebody's hairstyle or, although I talk about my own hair often, but, or I don't know. Somebody's outfit didn't look good on them, or
how big or someone's ass is.
Gossip, yeah, you know. I just can't. I just can't do it.
Right. And see, the other thing I should point out is that when I put that onto my webpage that I didn't like people much, that was probably me at one of my more cynical moments. Mm-hmm. I typically don't have a terrible problem with people, but
no, you don't sound like it. Well, I think it's those people who live in this very small world of their own. That, yes. And not in a world of their own in an artistic way. A world of their own in a just a... I don't know how to describe it, David.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. We don't... We're not misanthropes in any way. I mean, that's not the point. They think that there are just times that well, I guess just to put it plainly, you know, when you just come from a very... you know, DIY point, and that's a real generalization, but a DIY point of view.
Right.
It's really difficult to come to terms with the mainstream, because that was the mainstream and the culture of the flock and that a lot of people fall into is really a turnoff to us, and we mm-hmm. one of the ways that we act against it is to, you know, believe and think outside of the box, but also we just get so jaded because we're overwhelmed by how much of it surrounds us. So, you know, some days we feel like screaming, and how else do we do it but to put out music, to put out podcasts, to say what we think, to wear what we want. It's, you know, and I don't know. I don't think you ever give it up.
And probably in it. You know, if you get on a bigger cultural perspective, some of that, for me at least, is I see a lot of, and again, very terrible to generalize, people, just the word, the name, the uh-huh. idea of people, but I see a lot of this ignorance is bliss
uh-huh.
type of, you know, whatever you All don't right. whatever you don't hear about, don't worry about it. It must not be a big enough problem to concern
right.
you.
Right. And I don't, I'm going to cut you off here because, and I really don't relate it to a person's level of education. Mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, I like to be around people who just don't take everything they see at face value.
Right.
Regardless of what their, how literate they are or how non-literate or how well educated they are or not, or certainly. Undereducated, whatever. I mean.
And when you get to that, you know, when I say, that it's that the ignorance is bliss idea is off-putting. That
right.
that is, I don't mean when I say that any level of education. What I'm saying is an ignorance of culture around
mm-hmm.
you,
right.
of experience, and that, you know, it's, you know, one thing to have people who are ignorant of society around you simply because they have not been out to experience it yet, but then you have a large segment of our population who is ignorant of society, I believe, and are unwilling to go out and
right.
experience what the rest of society, what the rest of culture has to offer. I think it's much more that experience idea, though, than what level of education
right.
you attain or anything along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've had some exciting developments of late.
Yes.
there's a record label involved or something like that. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I about 3 weeks ago, I was contacted by Chris from Borrow Deer Records, which is a small label out of Portland, Oregon. And he was just saying that he'd like to put out the Find Me the Electric Car record on... they do MP3, and at some point they're working on doing vinyl releases of some albums
mm-hmm.
as well right now, and he's wanting to put that out, and as of this week it looks like it will become available for purchase on May 6th. So
right on.
That's just kind of a a neat development for me here recently.
And just for all the listeners, how could people get access to your music?
The easiest way right now is going to MySpace and just doing a music search for Queens College Organs. I am going to be available. The music is going to be available, and there'll be a link to a page and everything off of Borrowed Your Records sometime here shortly as well. But that is something that is not quite up yet. But you have, if you get to my MySpace page, there is a among the friends listed there is Borrowed Your Records, and there's a link to that MySpace page, and you can get some information on that label as well.
Great, great. Thank you.
All right, now the grand finale, which I'm sure you remember. You've had time to practice this.
I've been practicing.
This better be good. All right, good. All right, will you please give us your very best pirate impression?
All right. Arg.
That's it?
Oh, yes, that's it. That's the best I can do. I was going to try and apologize, but I've been practicing that thing. That's as good as I've got.
Wow, man, that was pretty good, I swear. That's the best, you know. Great.
I even listened to podcasts to hear what other people were offering up, and I knew I wasn't going to measure up.
Thanks for listening, man.
Yeah.
That's quite kind. Wow.
All right. Well, thank you. This was a pleasure.
Yeah.
It feels like a deja vu.
Yeah, it really does.